It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, October 5th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Here's a thought. What if all that time you waste on social networking websites isn't a waste of time at all? What if tweeting your tweets on Twitter and Facebooking with your fake friends on Facebook is actually a path toward finding the next big idea, the next breakthrough aha moment of your life? Steven Johnson's new book, Where Good Ideas Come From, The Natural History of Innovation, goes on sale today. He says the story of an apple falling on Isaac Newton's head and pow, gravity is discovered. Well, it's a nice story.
Turns out when you go back and look at the history of innovation pretty much in any field, those eureka moments that everybody likes to talk about are really the exception, not the rule. And one part of it is that they're much slower than people realize. In the book, I call this the slow hunch.
Yes.
And so often what you see is that somebody has this kind of inkling of something, that there's something about a problem that attracts them and they're kind of drawn towards it, but they have no idea what the full solution is to that problem. And it kind of lingers in the back of their mind, sometimes for decades, before either the world changes, some new technology comes along that helps them, or they come across somebody else who has another idea or another hunch in their mind that kind of completes the thought. And it's only then that the idea really crystallizes into something useful. And there's a great example of that in the history of the World Wide Web. Tim Berners-Lee really worked on the project that would ultimately become the web, even though he gave it a bunch of different names before he finally stumbled across the web itself as a metaphor. And he worked on it for almost a decade as a side project at work. I mean, he had no idea that he was inventing, you know, the most important new medium of the 20th century. He just was kind of had a little hobby at his job that he didn't even tell his bosses about for a long period of time. And it was because he had so much time to kind of tinker with it that it turned into the incredible platform that it became.
In terms of networking, in terms of being around other ideas, you know, I'm thinking about how the next great big idea will emerge out of all these online connections. Is the evolution of our online networking moving in a positive direction?
Well, the thing I'm really interested in is using the connective power of the web and these social networks to encourage face-to-face encounters with people. It's one of the things that I talk about in the book is that there are these, you know, physical geographic spaces that have been incredibly innovative over the years, whether it's kind of the coffee house in the Age of the Enlightenment or, you know, dense city neighborhoods that have been big engines of creativity, both artistic and economic. And so there's something about, you know, being around people in real life and having those face-to-face encounters and stumbling across interesting new connections together that is important and that the internet can't fully replace. And I think that's the balance that we want to strike. And the fact that there has been a lot of interesting innovation around what we sometimes call the geographic web, and it's partially because people have these GPS devices now. So now you can say, okay, who's near me? Or what interesting things are near me when I'm standing right here on the street corner? How can I reach out and find and discover these things? And so it becomes, in a sense, the web becomes this kind of interface for real life, which means it's not an escape from real life. It's actually a kind of an augmentation of real life, which is very, very exciting.
Steven Johnson's new book is Where Good Ideas Come From. My full conversation with him can be found at marketplacetech.org. Another story we're following online, Verizon will pay up to $90 million to customers who did not have data plans but were charged when their phones were accidentally connected to data networks. Existing customers will see a credit on their bill. Former customers will get a check. And finally, a big welcome to listeners of Louisville Public Radio, now carrying our show. I admire your derby and your sluggers. Producer Larissa Anderson is here, and we each have a story about 3D, which everyone says is the wave of the future.
Well, it's the wave of right now, because 3D is about to take over the music world. There's a new Bon Jovi 3D video. And if you really want to immerse yourself in some classical music, Sony is preparing a 3D concert movie of a classical piano recital by Long Long.
And also Toshiba now is going to release a no-goggles-required 3D TV in Japan this fall. And to get the 3D effect, you have to hold your head still in one of 9 designated viewing zones. And then just make sure to never move your head.
That sounds like a good party.
That's the future. Hold your head perfectly still while you watch a guy play a piano in 3D.
Or you could just go to the concert.
Yes, those have been 3D for years. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.